physiologic jaundice. Uh-huh. So this is, well, I'll make this really easy for you. So you just need to know the five criteria for pathologic jaundice. So if any, okay, if any one of the five are present, then it's a pathologic cause. If none of them are present, it, the answer is simply physiologic jaundice. So number one, any jaundice on first day of life, period, is pathologic. Number two, jaundice present after 1 week if term, or after 2 weeks if preterm. Number three, total bilirubin 15 milligrams per deciliter or greater. Number four, direct bilirubin greater than 10% of total bilirubin, even if total bilirubin is under 15. And then number five is rate of change of increase of bilirubin greater than 0.5 milligrams per deciliter per hour. So if you were to look at this question here, none of them are, none of the findings are pathologic. Now, what was your initial answer here?
Biliary obstruction.
Okay, so look, biliary obstruction, wouldn't you have high direct bilirubin?
Yeah, that's what I decided why I was wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So direct bilirubin would be very high. If you get a question, by the way, where you see like total bilirubin 15, direct bilirubin 14, is that abnormal?
According to what you just said, it's not greater than 10%. Oh, it is. So yeah.
Okay, so it's abnormal for two reasons. Why?
Because the total is 15 or greater, so it's 15, and because it's the direct is more than 10%.
Right, so let's say you get another question on your peds shelf where like it looks kind of like this, same structure, big paragraph and some values, and you just quickly see, as soon as a question pops up, you quickly just see like the bilirubin in the middle and you're like 15 14, and you're like, oh, like pathologic, and it's probably biliary atresia right away.
Okay,
that's a fast track answer for you. Like that's when the answer is B, biliary obstruction. Like, classic for Pete's shelf is, it's not like you're going to have a fucking stone in pediatrics. Like, it doesn't, that's really, really rare, unless you have, like, sickle cell or something. I mean, like, but we're talking neonates who have high direct bilirubin. That's biliary atresia. They want that as the answer. They also want the next best step in management as liver biopsy. And then they want treatment as straight to liver transplant. Now, choice D, erythrocyte enzyme defect, refers to either G6PD deficiency or it refers to pyruvate kinase deficiency. So that would be an answer if you had hemolytic anemia, where you've got a slightly older child. When I say older, I mean not a neonate, generally school age or older, who, if it's G6PD, there's been exposure to some sort of drug like dapsone or a sulfa agent or just fava beans, or there could be an infection and you get hemolysis via boy, G6PD being X-linked recessive. Pyruvate kinase deficiency is an insidious diagnosis because it's the second most common hereditary cause of hemolytic anemia due to an enzyme deficiency. Point I want to make for you that's important. You see how the hematocrit in this neonate is 54% and then 52% within a few days of birth. That's normal. That's because you're going to have a lot of RBC turnover when you're moving from the fetal hemoglobin to the adult hemoglobin. So you're going to get a high hematocrit, and bilirubin can be slightly elevated, but we already established the pathologic levels. So if you have pathologic jaundice, what's the treatment?
Well, one thing we said was liver transplant.
Okay, so that's biliary atresia. I mean, like in general, if the kid's jaundiced, how do we treat the actual jaundice?
Phototherapy.
Perfect. So let's say they tell you there's phototherapy and it didn't work. What do they want next?
I'm not sure.
The answer is exchange transfusion on the shelf exam. So phototherapy first, then exchange transfusion.